Things are happening, folks, very quickly. Things are changing. Our world is changing.
Yes.
Amen. Our country, America, is changing quickly. Things are not going to remain the same as they have been. And I believe what God is saying is that the days are going to get darker and darker and darker for America until she repents.
Amen. Yes.
And it's up to you and I to turn this around. If the people who are called by my name, says the Lord, right, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. God doesn't want his people asleep. God doesn't want us in the dark about what's actually happening. Are you with me? He wants us to be awake and he wants us to be looking for him. You see, if you don't pack your lunch today, if you're not ready today, you're not going to be ready in that day. God always pre-warns us. He gives us opportunity to prepare for what is coming.
Yes, he does.
Some people, I believe in the days of Noah, thought, well, one of these days, but I don't want to associate myself with those weird people over there building the boat. Talking about the end of the world as we know it. And only 8 souls of that entire world were saved. And how many know that that ark is Jesus Christ? He's the only safety. He's the only refuge. You hear the heart of God calling his people to relationship, to fellowship, to communion with him. It's kind of interesting how God directs things and directs our hearts. And he's been speaking to us about our personal lives, our own house, getting our house in order, this house, amen, preparing to meet your God. And the Lord has been giving warning signs throughout the earth. The calamities, the famine, the floods, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the things that are happening. These are just the beginning, folks, of what's coming. And America is not going to be spared either. The only people that are going to be spared, I want you to hear this, are the ones who know their God. The ones who stay close to God. And I'm not talking about spared from any type of suffering or tribulation. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. What God desires for his people is that we overcome. And we cannot overcome in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own courage. The only way we're going to overcome is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the word of God and by the blood of Jesus. And there are 3 primary problems that we face as human beings. Number 1 is the sin problem. Number 2 is the guilt problem. And number 3 is the accusation problem. So the title of today's message is Overcoming Sin, Guilt, and accusation. The sin problem is when Adam in the garden, when he had sinned, he immediately did what? He hid from God. Now, prior to Adam's disobedience, he enjoyed the fellowship of the Lord continually. He was actually clothed in God. He had, like, he wore God for clothing. His glory was on him. And that's what we're talking about when all of a sudden they knew that they were naked, is that they had lost their covering, the glory of God. And the first thing they wanted to do was to hide from God. And I want you to hear something, because when Adam sinned, God didn't say,
Adam, what did you do?
He said, Adam, where are you? See, God's heart is he's more concerned about the separation problem than the sin problem. It was about the separation that broke his heart, that we were now separated from him because of sin. And it wasn't, the emphasis was not on the sin, but on the separation. And we need to hear that today. We need to hear God's heart is that what he's concerned about, folks, is our separation from him, the distance that our hearts are from him, and not about the sin problem. When Jesus went to the cross, he dealt with the sin problem. Amen? And there is forgiveness available through the blood of Christ. But the purpose for the cross was to reconcile us, what? Back to God. Not so now we can just strive to be better people. To do good deeds. To live as a good person. Jesus didn't go to the cross just so you and I could live as good people. He went to the cross because we're not good people. And he is the one who makes us good. I know some people think they're pretty good. It's called self-righteousness. But before God, we're not good. Before God, apart from Christ, we are separated. And that's what God's heart has all been. It's always been about relationship with his creation. Because if we get into the frame of mind that I'm trying to leave either good enough or bad enough, are you with me? How good is good enough? It's never going to be good enough, folks. It's not about the knowledge that there is good and there is evil. Now, that was the problem. We became aware of the knowledge of good and evil. We became guilty before God. And so the first problem was the sin problem, because it broke fellowship. And so God had said in verse 1 of Isaiah 59, he said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you," listen, "so that he will not hear." Why is that? Because God is holy. When people sin against God, he cannot hear because he cannot look upon sin. Are you with me? So man needed to be reconciled back to God. And because it was impossible for us to do it, God himself in the person of the Son took upon himself a human body like Adam. And he paid the price. He became sin for us. God placed upon that body the sins of the world. He had prepared a body. He had come in a body to be our sacrifice, to deal with the sin problem, and to reconcile us, to bring us back into relationship. Again, it's not what did you do, it's that you are separated now because of what you did. And even today, folks, how many know that when we sin, we still have the obligation before God that we must confess our sins? We must renounce sin because sin is the problem that separates us. And separation from God is never a good thing. It is wonderful to be in union with him and communion with him. So the solution for the sin problem is the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews 9:22, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission." Remember in Exodus, the Lord spared the firstborn of Israel? Do you know that God didn't spare Israel because they were good? Have you ever thought about that? Do you know God didn't spare Israel based upon their good behavior? God spared Israel because he had given them promise. Because God is a promise keeper. And God was going to have a people for himself. He was going to have a remnant. There was going to be a lineage through whom the Messiah Jesus would come. And so God, in His mercy, in His grace, and according to His integrity, He kept His promise. And He had to bring them out of this bondage, and He is the one that did it. They didn't get themselves out of that mess. God got them out of that mess. Has God gotten you out of a mess? It was because they obeyed the Lord in applying the blood of the Lamb to the doorposts of their houses. That is why they were spared. The firstborn of Israel was spared. Not because they were good do-gooders. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can become do-gooders. In other words, we trust in our good doings. We trust in the fact that we are so good. And we're so nice. Does Jesus want us to be nice? Sure. Was Jesus always nice? No. He certainly wasn't nice to religious people. And it's the religious people that have a problem with God's grace, you know. It's religious people who are trying to, through their own efforts, earn enough credit with God, you know, to be good enough. And they will criticize those who walk in the liberty and the freedom of Christ, who had been set free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Who have been set free from sin and have now become sons and daughters of God, who can walk in new life. Hallelujah. And of course, as we receive the true grace of God, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Amen. When we receive the true grace of God, we don't go out and commit adultery or fornication, amen, or steal or hurt people. Why? Because it's the love of God, and the law of God is written in our hearts by the Spirit. But God's heart was for fellowship. It always has been. It still is His heart for you and for me. And so the Lord spared them because they had obeyed the Lord in applying the blood on the doorposts of the house. And when the death angel went over, he did what? He passed over. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, Exodus 12 and verse 13, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. How many know that the same is true today? That it is the blood of Jesus Christ that protects us. Not our good works, but the blood of Jesus. Now, what should we do when we feel far from God? We just said it. We must confess our sins, right? And what else? We need to believe. We need to believe that once we confessed our sins, that just like the Word says, is it 1 John 1:9, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, I need to believe that when I confess my sins and I mean it and I'm honest in my heart with God, He knows our hearts. If we mean business, then God forgives you. And now you need to claim the merits of the blood of Jesus on your behalf. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that the blood covers me. You need to believe, once you confess your sins, that the blood of Jesus has already taken away your sins. Do you know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to keep going back and going back and going back. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. Some people are living their whole life and just being sorry for yesterday. The first time you meant business, the first time you confessed your sins, God forgave you. See, we're going to start to learn a little bit here about the difference between accusation and conviction. Tonight I'm going to be talking about that. What's the difference? How can you tell the difference between what is conviction and what is actually accusation? And that's tonight's message, so you got to come out. When you confess your sins, don't wait for some good feeling. Come on, we're emotional people. If I feel forgiven, then I must be. If you believe what He promises, you will receive what He promises. If you believe what He promises, you will receive what He promises. It's the blood of Jesus that solves our sin problem. Listen to this. I want you to hear this. Not weeping, not prayer, not penance, not promises to do better, not good works, etc. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can cry. You know, Judas was remorseful over his sin. He was a man who was in association without transformation. Even a man who partook of the gifts, you know, and the anointing. But in the end, it was destruction for him. And any amount of weeping, are you with me? Remorse will not cover your sin. Faith in Christ, in His blood, alone forgives. Amen. Brings forgiveness. Releases. God honors faith when we believe the report He gave us about His Son. I'm forgiven. Because some of you here this morning, I could point at you, and I already know this in my spirit, that you're struggling with this forgiveness thing. Accepting the fact that God has really forgiven you. God wants to help us. He wants us to be free from the past. Amen? From the regrets. The second problem we have is the guilt problem. How many know that guilt will paralyze your spiritual walk? Many people will not serve God because they live in guilt and in shame. What is guilt? Guilt is the stain of sin on your conscience. That's what guilt is. It's that stain of sin on your conscience. Your conscience is like a window. If it doesn't get washed, what's going to happen? Eventually, the dirt is going to accumulate and it's going to begin to obscure and even block out the light. Are you with me? So we need to get something that conscience dealt with. We need to have that guilt problem dealt with. And the only solution to that guilt problem, again, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse our conscience. Not anything else. Not good works. Not good deeds. Not better living. Are you with me? Because sometimes we try just to do better living, better things now. Amen. And we should, but as a means of somehow appeasing my conscience. If I'd been a bad person, now I'm going to do a lot of good things and hopefully that will make my conscience feel better. But how many know it never really deals with the issue of guilt? It's kind of like a mask, you know, you're trying to mask over, but it's still there. You're just trying to glaze over it with good works. Now, when we were saved for good works. Would you agree? So this is not some kind of license to just throw off, you know, any responsibility as followers. But when we're saved, God saved us for a purpose. How many know God didn't just save us to punch the clock at church, right, and do your church thing and your, you know. He saved us so that we could be united with Him, so we could have fellowship with Him again, so we could walk with Him. And when we walk with Him, ministry is just an overflow of our relationship with Him. Ministry is not something to pursue. You pursue Jesus and ministry results. Some people just pursue a title or a ministry or some kind of, I want to be this or I want to be an elder or a choir member or whatever it might be. Are you with me? Because they feel if I just get this position, I'll be better, I'll feel better. But what we should be doing is pursuing the Lord, pursuing, amen, His heart. And out of that, ministry results. Why? Because you'll have His heart in you and you'll know what pleases the Lord. You'll know what He desires. He will be working in you both to will and to do. He wills in you and gives you that ability to do actually what He calls you to do. So, the guilt problem here in Jeremiah 31 and verse 33, this is what the Lord was talking about when He was speaking of the new covenant. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law where? In their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and listen, their sin I will remember no more. Whenever you sin and you sense guilt within you, what must we do? We have to turn to the Lord, right? Not only turn to the Lord, but we've got to trust Him. We've got to believe that the blood of Jesus is there on the mercy seat in heaven on our behalf, amen, that cries out, the mercy, amen, of the Lord endures forever. We know the blood of Jesus has been shed, and Jesus Himself, as our great high priest, took Himself through the veil, amen, into heaven itself with His own blood, as the high priest would do once a year on the earth. And as our high priest, He sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. So there is blood there for you and for me. Thank Him for His blood. And what you need to do is we need to claim His blood for ourselves. Amen? When you sin and you feel ashamed or you feel guilty, you need to confess it to God and you need to claim the blood, amen, of Jesus. Lord, I thank You that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. Lord, I thank You that the blood of Jesus deals with a guilt problem in my life. I don't have to live in guilt. I don't have to live in fear or in shame because the blood of Jesus has overcome, amen? And I receive Your forgiveness. I receive Your cleansing. I believe that Your blood is enough. In Psalms 32 and 1, David, oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. If God forgets our sins, so should we. The third problem we have is the accusation problem. Because sometimes after we have confessed our sins to God and we have renounced sin, we may be still experiencing some bad feelings within. How many know that this is not from God? I'm going to say it again. If you have confessed your sins, you have trusted in Christ, amen, for your forgiveness. You've received that. You've claimed the merits of the blood. And you still feel bad? That's not from God. That's the accusation problem. That's the accuser of the brethren. That is what the devil does. The devil wants you to doubt the blood. He wants you to doubt the promise of God. He wants you to doubt that God has forgiven you. So he can keep you in bondage to your past and to your shame. And to your guilt. Instead of receiving what God has done freely for us, He wants us to believe that it just wasn't enough. I'm going to have to do something else. I'm going to have to add to what God did. That's called works. Working for salvation. When you think you have to add to what God did for you, you can't save yourself by adding to what God already did for you. You couldn't save yourself. Israel couldn't save themselves. You know what? Israel didn't see the blood on the door. They were inside the house, but the blood was there. They didn't feel the blood on the door, but the blood was there. And they were in the house. And when the death angel passed over, amen, they were delivered. They were spared. You understand? Forgiveness is not a feeling necessarily. There are good feelings that follow obedience. Are you with me? But you can't trust always in that soulish part of you, the emotional realm, as being an accurate indication of what's really going on. Because there are many people who live in a soulish way and they do things that are against what God's will is for their lives, and yet they don't seem to have a problem with it. Why? Because it felt good at the time. Are you with me? It felt good. Have you ever done anything that felt good and later you said, man, why did I do that? Of course. You understand, it's not an emotional thing. It's a faith thing. It's a faith that God promised. If we confess, He will forgive us and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many are going to receive that today? Amen. Only God can forgive sins. You know that. Now, we sang this morning, Revelation 12:10, but they overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb. And the word of their testimony. You know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? He's like the prosecutor. He's like the prosecuting attorney who is waiting for you to slip up. Not only to slip up in the present, but to remind you of something you did in your past too. And try to bring it right back in front of you and say, see, remember what you did? You're still not forgiven. As a matter of fact, it was so bad, God won't forgive you for that. So you might as well just go back and live life in the world and live in death because God's rejected you because you're just such a filthy, rotten sinner. Have you ever heard that voice before? If we don't understand what God has done for us, if we don't understand what's freely given to us in Christ, what's available, that there is full pardon, are you with me, at the cross, then we can live, we'll live a defeated life. We will live under the accusation of the enemy. And why does he do it? Because he wants to tear you down. He wants to rob from you the promise of God, the destiny that God has for you. So he wants you to live out of the regrets of the past. And God is saying, you don't have to carry that any longer. I've already dealt with it at the cross. It's the blood of Jesus that will sprinkle your heart, amen, and cleanse your conscience. And then if you've been cleansed by the blood, you've got to believe, amen, the blood of Christ is what is sufficient for you and not adding to what God has done. In 1 John 2:1, my dear children, I'm writing this to you, that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. So do you see the accuser as the prosecutor? He points the finger of accusation and says, you have sinned. You're guilty before God. But we have an advocate, hallelujah, with the Father. We have a defense attorney. His name is Jesus. And he's there, amen, at the right hand of the Father. And he pleads our case before the Father. He ever lives to make intercession on our behalf in heaven's court. If we confess to the Lord, I'm sorry, Jesus, forgive me. The accuser says, look what he's done. He says, I don't see it anymore. I'll remember it no more. Why? Because the blood has canceled it out. There is a cancellation of sins. There is a blotting out of sin by the blood of Jesus. Are you with me? So we've got to receive that and believe that and don't listen to that accuser tell you that God didn't hear you. How many know God heard you the first time? 20 times later, oh God, did you really forgive me? Did you really? He said, believe me. That's all I'm asking. I just want you to believe me. I see I'm not the only one that's been there before. What does Satan do before God in the book of Job? He accused Job, you know, that he was only serving him because he had blessed him. And he said, if you reach out your hand and you take away his stuff, he's going to curse you to your face. What was he doing? He was accusing Job of being a sugar baby, gold digger. He was accusing Job of just being in it because of the blessings. You know, that can be a reality, can it? Some people just, you know, if God gives me what I want, I'll walk with him. As soon as I didn't get what I wanted, I'm out of here. But how many of us not a pure motive, right? That's not the way we should love Jesus because he loves us and we know his love and we know how good he is. And even if he doesn't do another good thing for me, it's not going to change my mind about him. And you know, he did enough for me already at the cross. He did everything for me. He made it possible for me to live forever, to be forgiven, to go to heaven someday. Zechariah 3:1, Joshua the high priest stood before God and Satan was on his right hand to accuse him. Remember Joshua? Joshua, he was clothed in his filthy garment. And that speaks of the stain of sin. So Satan tempts us to sin because he wants to legally accuse us before God. Now, I want you to hear something. If you and I choose to sin willfully, how many of you know that the accuser is waiting for you to do that? I want you to hear this. Because he wants to destroy you, and he wants you to become guilty before God. And so the accuser's there waiting for you. He tempts you, and then he waits for you to see what you're going to do. Whether you're going to resist him and overcome him, or you're going to give in to him. And the more you give in to him, the more he's going to keep doing it. Because he sees he can just push you around. But yet you don't have to yield one inch to him. You don't have to give any place to the devil. Why? Because you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you've been set free from the law of sin. So you're not subject to sin anymore. You're an overcomer in Christ. And so he tempts us to sin. And then if you give in to that, next thing you hear is accusation, accusation. Are you hearing me? He's pointing the finger at you, accusing you. And he is accusing you actually lawfully, legally, because you chose to listen to him. Are you with me? And when that happens, thank God there is still grace. There is still mercy available. Amen. When that happens, thank God, yes, there is forgiveness, but there are consequences. But it tells us in Galatians that you will reap what you sow. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season what we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't lose heart. Keep sowing in the Holy Spirit. Don't sow to your flesh nature. Don't sow, amen, in the devil's camp. Sow in the Holy Spirit. Live in life. How many have discovered that when you listen to that other voice, you start to lose joy? You start to lose peace. You start to feel miserable. Well, God's saying, how long is it going to take for you to get this, you know, that you can't listen to him, you can't listen to the accuser, you can't listen to Satan, and enjoy life and peace in the Spirit at the same time. Choose this day who you're going to serve. You can't serve two masters. I found that serving Jesus is a whole lot better. Whole lot better. And it has eternal benefits. Whenever you and I, we come to God, Satan resists us by accusing us. How many times have you and I decided that we need to pray? And all of a sudden, it's just like stuff that you'd confessed years ago sometimes. Have you ever had that? Starts dropping in front of your screen there. You're like, God, I thought I already dealt with that. You know, the Lord had dealt with it. But the enemy wants you to believe he hasn't, that you haven't dealt with it, and that God hasn't forgiven you. Why? So he can constantly keep you in the place of repenting from things that God has already dealt with, that's already forgiven you of. You know what I'm saying? He wants to keep you preoccupied with fixing yourself. Preoccupied with confessing. That's why some people, they think that, well, I can do whatever I want all week long. I'll just go to confessional on whatever night, Saturday night. You know, I mean, are you with me? That's religion. That's not relationship. People that do that don't know God. When you know God, when you have God in you, when Christ is in you, you know you can't live like that comfortably anymore. And if you make a mistake and you listen to that other voice, thank God we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can call upon the Lord, and the Lord says to the Father, Father, they're forgiven. My blood covers that. Amen. And when the accuser comes, speak to the hand. It's already dealt with. Aren't you glad that Jesus did what he did for us? We couldn't save ourselves. He did it for us. You may not feel the blood, you may not see the blood, but I'm telling you, the blood is there for you. No matter what you've done, the blood is there for you. No matter how bad it is, the blood is there for you. Believe what God promised, that he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So there was Satan attempting, you know, accusing Joshua, you know, and you know what? Again, folks, the Lord said to him, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? See, this is my boy here. He's mine. Get him a clean garment. Amen? Put a new turban on his head. We're going to throw out the old garments. We're going to get rid of the stain of the guilt and the shame and the sin of the past. We're going to give him a brand new set of clothes. Hallelujah. God clothes us in himself once again so that we don't walk around feeling spiritually naked. Come on. God wants us to have the confidence that comes by being clothed and walking in the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, amen, you won't fulfill the lusts of your flesh or your evil nature. And when you make a mistake, thank God there's an advocate there for you. So whenever we're under accusation, this is something else. I want you to hear this today, folks, because God says it's important. Has anybody, just to show a hand, just to be honest, all right? Because God loves honesty, transparency. Have ever stayed away from fellowshipping with the body of Christ because you felt guilty about something? Okay, look at that. Do you know where that came from, right?
Yeah.
See, and what he's doing is he's actually robbing you by accusing you. And if you believe the accusation, then you'd be like Adam, who you're trying to hide. You know, people, they go into their closet. They stay away from, because I'm just, people are going to see me. I'm going to be exposed. They're going to judge me. Are you with me? Did you confess your sins to God? Did you renounce them to God? Amen. Did you renounce your sins? Then guess what? You're forgiven. Receive that today. Just say, Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. I believe your blood speaks on my behalf. I claim the merits of your blood for me. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Oh, the devil hates it when you do that. Because he wants you to believe the lie that God hasn't forgiven you. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, it is possible for us to live moment by moment in the forgiveness, the grace, and the mercy of God. Not by my efforts of living a good life, but by my faith in God. Amen? I have a cleansed conscience. I have peace with God. I'm not fearful. Amen? Of not measuring up. Because the bottom line is none of us measured up. Israel didn't save themselves. We can't save ourselves. God took the initiative. Amen? Jesus became our sacrifice. God loved us that much. He demonstrated his love for us on the cross. That's how much he wants and desires a relationship with us. It's not the issue of the sin, folks. It's the issue of separation that God is concerned about. He knows that when we choose to sin against him, even as believers, it does cause a separation. Don't wait. Don't go to bed. Amen? On your anger. Deal with it right away. As soon as you know you've slipped up, right away just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I thank you for your blood. I thank you that the blood of Jesus covers my sin. Claim it. You see, the Israelites had to take a step of faith. They were instructed to dip hyssop in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And they had to apply the blood. They had to apply it. What does that say to us today? We have to claim the merits of Calvary. We have to claim the blood of Jesus on our behalf. Just say it. Lord, I claim the merits of your blood on my behalf. Huh. The devil said, stop! He wants to keep you in bondage. It's time for you to break out of that shell of yesterday. Amen? Break out. Hallelujah. Come out. Amen. People are coming out of the closet. It's time for the believer to come out of the closet. Amen. Let your light so shine.